This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Hey,
Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm good. I'm wondering why I made this decision to drink hot tea. And we're basically on the surface of the sun.
My goodness.
Here in June in central Mississippi. Dude, it's just hot.
It's just
awful.
It's unlivable conditions. I mean, as you pointed out.
It's amazing, yeah, where people can live nowadays.
No one should live here, and yet here we are.
Every week we come back, right?
Yeah, I went back and forth.
even brought a couple people into this world, like right here.
That's right.
You're like doing this to people's futures.
You know, I thought about that too, because my wife, you know, being from Michigan, you know, inclined to the cold temperatures, and then of course me growing up here in Mississippi and being inclined to the warm temperatures, our kids are probably just going to have like the flu nonstop, right?
No, I mean, think they will. Yeah.
It's just,
well, they already do. They give it to you. That's why you're even sick tonight, aren't
man,
you?
I am having a tough time.
As I sit here blowing pipe smoke in your face.
Yeah, no worries. I got some tea behind me, so I think we'll be good. But no, actually, I don't think it was the kids this time. This last past weekend, I was at Mississippi Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing now.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Dude, Mississippi actually has a respectable Comic Con.
Yeah, we've got enough people for that.
Look,
yeah.
Man, it was really great. We actually did a panel, me and two other podcasters. One guy actually drove from out of town to be on the panel and talked about DC TV because, of course, I did the Flash TV Talk podcast, so it kind of played into that.
Yeah.
But
yep.
I got to tell you, man, it was massive. They had a long line to get in even hours after it started. I mean, they're going to definitely need a bigger venue next time. But here's something that occurred to me. The Squire should have a table there. You should bring some church wardens, because let me tell you, man, you would clean up at this
place.
You think
place. So?
Oh, dude, for one thing,
it'd be similar to what we do at Celtic Fest.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Similar feel, right?
Yeah, but way more people. I would say this is like three or four times more than people than at Celtic Fest.
All right, so tell me what exactly happens at a Comic Con that happens in a Comic Con in a town the size of Jackson.
Hey, man, what happens at Comic Con stays at Comic Con.
Apparently, it does. Right? Yeah. Except for that cold you got.
Well, so they. You know, one thing that happens at these things is, you know, some celebrities will come in and you can kind of wait in line and pay money to get their autographs. I've never understood that, but a lot of people are into that kind of thing, which is perfectly fine.
I think my cousin's proudest moment in her life was maybe getting a hug from William Shatner.
Oh, well, there you go.
At one of these things.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if I had the opportunity and the line wasn't like ridiculous to like...
I'd hug William Shatner.
Well, not William Shatner, but if it was Mark Hamill, I might pay $100 to hug Mark Hamill. Might do that. But no, so they had a lot of folks, Ghostbusters and wrestlers and the like came out to do autographs, but there were also tons of vendors, man. Mostly, more than anything else, it was artists and vendors selling all kinds of paraphernalia. I got they've got these things, these vinyl Funko figurine type deals, and I'm not big into toy collection or anything like that, but I've gotten some friends that have kind of given me these Flash figurines, and so now I've kind of been collecting just those, and so
cool, man.
I was hunting around for it, but the thing is, there is a vibrant cosplay community in Mississippi.
Yeah, see, that just kind of strikes me as being strange. And for those of our listeners that don't know cosplay, I mean, we're talking about dressing up in costume. And you define it.
No,
I don't want to defend it. I don't want to offend anyone.
That's right.
I can really make a lot of people angry by butchering this up here.
It's putting on the costume, but also putting on the character. And I got to tell you, man, if you know, there's a lot of Tolkien-esque costumes out there lacking some church wardens. So I'm telling you, if the Squire was present, I think he'd clean up.
How many people were dressed as Laura Croft?
Not enough.
Not enough. Maybe I'll go next year.
Dressed as Laura Croft. There it is. All right. Well, good stuff, man. Hey, speaking of things that are going on, this is kind of last minute, but next week I'm going to be in Chicago yet again.
What?
Yeah.
You're literally just telling me this?
Yeah, next week. End of next week. I think that's right.
Are we going to have to do
another? No, it's the end of next week. So it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Okay.
I'll be there. There's a big event called Podcaster Movement or Podcast Movement that we'll be going and representing Satchel at. So really excited about that. But I will actually, I believe, be in actually Chicago proper this time.
Yeah,
so
nice.
For those of you in the Chicago area, especially if you've got some pipe shop recommendations, I'll be looking for that. Maybe we could do a meetup. I think that'd
be
awesome.
It'd be so great if you could swing by Ewan Reese. I know we didn't have the time to do it once we were there. We met all the Ewan Reese guys, obviously, at the show. But, you know, just being kind of out in the suburbs away from central Chicago, didn't get the chance. But, man, what a legendary shop. And, of course, Chicago Chicagoland, you know, pipe community. It's just one of the most vibrant in the world, really. Yeah. So, yeah.
So one way or the other, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing a couple of you guys out there late next week. So more details on that on the Facebook page. Man, what's going on around the shop?
Dude, yeah, just lots of new inventory, man. Trying to just kind of get things ramped up. We had our big event, obviously, Father's Friends and Fire, which we got to do with Eric Stokeby's fourth generation and Kamoy pipes, and slung a bunch of those. And then, yeah, you look around our shop, we've got a ton of like Missouri Meerschaum pipes. And
yeah,
I'd say that. It's funny, of course, they're, you know, proud sponsors of our show, but I did. I got a huge shipment of Cobb pipes in today. This is actually, I'm smoking right now, a Vauen pipe. We recently picked up Vauen pipes, which are, of course, are made in Germany. And I have never smoked a Vauen pipe. This is I literally just lit up this pipe for the first time ever.
Man.
30 seconds ago, or however long ago we started this podcast.
And so far so good?
Dude, so far so good. Yeah, this is, it's
shiny.
Yeah, it's real shiny. It's a shape 1237, so it's kind of just a nice, chunky apple. You might even, you know, some companies might even call that an author or something. It's got kind of a nice cherry finish to it, but just real chunky pipe. Feels good in my little paws here. And yeah, so far so good. And of course, Vauen's, you know, have this 9mm filter. And I've actually never smoked a 9mm filter pipe before.
Oh, wow.
I would take this apart and show it to you, Bo, but my pipe is lit now.
I know that's the cardinal sin.
It's
right?
Heresy. Yeah, yeah. I don't let myself do that.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, well, good.
Even for you.
Well, by the end of the show, maybe you'll have a better report even about how it's smoked.
Yeah,
for
I hope so. So far, so good.
Well,
yeah.
Good stuff, man. Well, hey, we got a great topic that we're talking about. You know, from time to time, we like to do what we call our pipe smoking 101. It's a topic. We take topics, take questions occasionally, really geared towards the beginner pipe smokers. But what we find is that a lot of people, even if you're not a beginner, you might be able to glean a little bit of wisdom or thoughts that you hadn't.
Or contribute.
I mean, that's the big thing as well. We love, after we post out the pipe smoking 101s, to get feedback from those of you who've been in it for quite some time. But the specific topic that we're covering tonight is all about cake.
Let them eat cake.
Chocolate, vanilla, ice cream. Wait, no,
or,
not that.
Or carbon.
Carbon.
All right. Gross. Yeah, man, cake obviously is something that we get a lot of questions about. We've done some shows that have just generally talked about cake and maintaining the bowl of your pipe and all this kind of stuff in the past, but we wanted to go a little deeper in this. We're talking about a you know, regular problem that our listeners and customers have too about their pipe, and that's, you know, protecting from a burnout, smoking too hot.
Right.
And I think this just really dovetails nicely in with those topics because, you know, obviously you're smoking your pipe and you're thinking, man, that bowl is getting really hot. And, you know, am I doing something wrong there, or is there something I could do better to kind of protect my investment and also, you know, make the experience more pleasurable, you know? So, building a cake is a real, real big part of that. And so we thought we'd devote a little time to that, this evening.
So bare minimum definition. When you say cake, you're obviously not talking about chocolate. You're talking about carbon.
That would be a very interesting way to build a cake in your pipe
with chocolate.
Chocolate cake.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
We ought to try that. Yeah.
No, it's definitely not.
So let's talk about the purpose of cake a little bit. Obviously, yeah, we are talking about the carbon that is built up on the side of the bowl. And, you know, a lot of folks, they understand that it's a thing, but don't necessarily understand kind of the why or the, you know, so what type thing about it. And that's, you know, what we want to talk about a little bit tonight. But, you know, you've got a couple of main reasons for building cake in your pipe. And number one, obviously, the first and most important reason is to protect the bowl of your pipe from the heat. Okay, so you're basically building this carbon layer on the inside of your pipe, and the main reason there is to you know, form this kind of protective barrier around the bowl of your pipe, just to protect this briar. Even though briar is such a great wood for smoking, you know, it's still a piece of wood that you're regularly setting on fire right. in order to enjoy that, you know, right. So it's definitely working for you. You want to, you know, take this briar and treat it as well as you can, give it a nice covering. So yeah, that cake, when you're building it on the inside of the bowl, it's protecting it. But another thing a lot of folks don't really think about, and this is, you know, something that you really would have to kind of give it some thought to recognize this, because it's a little less obvious, but the cake also acts almost as like a kind of a rudimentary filter And that's an interesting thing. You think about, you know, you've got this porous, you know, substance that's inside the bowl while you're filling it with tobacco. And then while you're smoking it, think of what happens while you're smoking it. So you've got a lot of heat, but then you've also got moisture buildup that happens in there. And your porous cake, you know, when it gets hot, it's going to expand a little bit and it makes room to absorb some of that moisture, Bo. And so what happens is your cake actually will act in some sense as a filter to absorb some of the things like moisture that will make your smoking experience drier and more pleasurable.
Interesting. But,
yeah.
But it's as it's going down as opposed to through the shank.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's actually happening in the bottom of the bowl, which is nice. So that's why, you know, when we're building cake, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, it's so important to focus at first on the bottom of that bowl. Just to make sure that area that's going to be exposed to the most heat, the most flame, you know, that it's going to be real tender. You just want to, you know, build a really nice layer down there.
Got to be careful, right? You don't want it too thick because you do have the hole, right? You don't want to accidentally cut it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You don't want to obstruct the hole, obviously. And we'll talk later about the importance of kind of maintaining a good cake because, you know, you actually can damage your pipe with too much cake.
Really?
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But so building cake. All right, so you know, cake, think about, you know, when something burns, the smoke particles, if you got a campfire or something, the smoke particles are, you know, forming because, you know, nutrients from whatever you're burning are, you know, actually, you know, being turned into energy. So in this case, you've got sugar that's being turned into ash or carbon. And so, you know, you've got, you know, the natural sugars of these leaves, this plant matter in this pipe that you're doing. And just like you would light, you know, some logs on fire and you'd have, you know, smoke particles that kind of drift away, your tobacco is doing the exact same thing.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, the goal is to try to get, a nice even layer of that to build up along the side of your pipe, just to protect that bowl, to give you that nice cake that will both protect, you know, save the bowl, but then also, act kind of as that filter like we talked about. So a couple of things that can kind of help when you do this, obviously, are going to be, there's a lot of methods of cheating. You know, you think like, well, how hard could this be? And well, some people have made it really complicated, but by making it complicated, their goal is to, you know, make it more consistent so that you always know that you're going to have a really good cake, rather than, you know, just, you know, kind of piecemealing at a time. Maybe you've had a lot of trouble building cake in the past and, just don't want to have to fool with it again. But, so just some ideas that are floating around out there. A lot of our listeners probably already know some of these things, but, the most popular one, of course, is you take just a little bit of natural honey, on the tip of your maybe pinky finger or something. You just kind of smear it on the inside. Doesn't take much at all. But then you'll fill the bowl with tobacco, obviously, and then burn it all the way to the bottom. And really, if you do that, you want to fill it up maybe halfway. Typically, when I'm telling people how to break a pipe in, we try to shoot for halfway up and then go all the way to the bottom. Just really focusing that first initial carbon layer kind of on the bottom. Because that's the most tender part that you'll need, not just to protect the bowl, but also, you know, where a lot of that moisture is going to build up too.
Is the goal in this instance to actually smoke it as fast as possible in order to keep it nice and hot, or?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, honestly, you would want to smoke it just optimally like you would normally, which is probably, you know, kind of slow and, you know, just keeping it just at a normal temperature like you would normally use it. So, and also it's important because your pipe is new, you know, to break it in slowly because it's more tender because it doesn't have the cake on there. So yeah, it's actually the complete opposite of that.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that you could do is a lot of folks have come up with these pastes that work kind of interestingly. So you've got folks that have come up with their own recipes even of pipe, you know, kind of carbon layer, you know, that you can put on there to kind of precarbonate, just like if you bought a Savinelli or Peterson or some pipe that has a precarbon layer on the inside. And folks will figure out ways to do that themselves. So a popular way is to take honey or actually jam, some kind of like jelly or jam, and you can mix it with like a cigar ash or even really fine a pipe tobacco ash and start to build the cake in there yourself.
Interesting.
Just by creating that layer of that. So an interesting thing as well, I've actually seen for pipes that were drilled to maybe the draft hole is too high in the side of the pipe. And the person wanted to kind of make the bottom of the bowl, you know, come up to the draft hole. You could actually take like a, almost make your own paste out of cigar ash and water, or, you know, perhaps jelly or something like that, and actually build a, your own little, you know, layer in the bottom and let that harden. And you've kind of got this false bottom that allows your, allows your pipe to, you know, function as it should. So,
and
really
are you
weird.
Using like a tamp when you're actually kind of getting it on the bottom? Or
yeah,
just...
yeah. You know, anything to allow you to get just a real even layer. You want it to follow what should be the natural curve of the briar.
Right, right.
Yeah. So kind of interesting. There's, you know, this crazy formula that I've heard Tim West has recommended and uses. And that's actually where he will take grape jelly and then mix it. What he does is he bakes some of his favorite tobaccos. So, like, let's say your favorite tobacco is, Dunhill Flake. So what Tim would say you do is you actually take the Dunhill Flake and you bake it in the oven. You rub it apart real finely and bake it in the oven just to get all the moisture out of it. And then once you take it out, you actually grind it up. You can even, you know, grind it up almost like a mortar and pestle type thing, you know, where you're just basically turning it into, you know, the finest powder that you can. And then mix that tobacco in with this, you know, jam or jelly, and then kind of just, you know, rub it on the inside of your pipe, and that kind of creates that just a real simple carbon layer, you know, so the pipe is pre-carbonized and allows you to build cake more fast. So, you know, and then the most novel way to obviously build cake is to just fill your pipe and smoke it to the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
it's this really strange thing that we've been doing for hundreds of years now.
It's a natural process, really.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, you know, again, you're taking a plant matter and you're burning it the way that you would a campfire or something. And, you know, obviously when you see smoke drift up in the, you know, plumes of fire that you would outside, you know, in that kind of situation, you see the particles go with it. And that's all you're doing is taking those particles and helping it stick to the side of the bowl. One other thing that I'll mention, you know, as far as the purpose of the cake goes, you know, we talked about the, you know, wood protection of the wood also acting somewhat as a filter and a absorber of some of that moisture. But, you know, but also your pipe will smoke sweeter if you do that. I mean, think about, you know, again, we talk about those cast iron skillets that are, you know, seasoned over time that have such a good, you know, kind of residual flavor that just comes with years and years and years of use. And, you know, that's why, you know, you've seen grandmamas like, you know, beat the snot at a little, you know, grandbabies if they accidentally put the cast iron skillet in the dishwasher kind of thing. You know, that's a big no-no. Right, right. But, you know, it's things like that that allow that pipe to kind of, you know, build up some of those residual flavors, especially if you are smoking the same tobacco, you know, over and over and over. A lot of pipes, too, I have not had this with this particular pipe tonight, which, of course, I'll let go out now. But, you know, a lot of pipes, you know, unlike this Vowin, when you smoke it at the first, it'll have kind of a bitter taste to it as well. And sometimes that's just the briar. Just, you know, it's just the natural flavor of the wood. And so as you build that cake, you know, you're building up a layer of that's, you know, based around more your, you know, your tastes. Yeah. So it just kind of naturally comes, which is nice.
So that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people I would imagine, you know, that are listening to this, I mean, some for sure have been intentional about setting their pipe right and building that cake from the get-go. But for many of us, I mean, you know, we've kind of done it the old-fashioned natural way. So we've got this cake that's kind of occurred naturally. How do we maintain that?
Yeah. And it's really important to do that. I tell this story several times, at least once a week, when someone comes in and asks me to ream their pipe, or you know, if they have a question about reaming. One of our dear friends at the shop, of course, is a gentleman named Blair Batson. He's a 95-year-old retired doctor here in Jackson. And of course, the reason that name is familiar in Mississippi is our children's hospital is named after Dr. Batson. And if you go to Batson Hospital, there's a huge portrait there in the lobby, and he's sitting there holding his pipe in that portrait.
Awesome.
Of the children's hospital, which
awesome.
I just think is fantastic. so, you know, you got this really kind of respected Mississippian that, you know, obviously is a pipe smoker and a good friend of the Squire's. Matter of fact, his niece, who is also named Blair, came by just the other day to pick up his monthly pound of Cherokee.
So, oh, there you go.
Which is kind of cool. But could you imagine being 95 and smoking a pound of pipe tobacco a month?
May we all be so fortunate.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? It's just great. But so anyway, I love to tell the story. Occasionally, Dr. Batson will send his pipe to the Squire to be cleaned. And the filthiest pipe I've ever seen come through the shop was Dr. Batson's pipe.
I gotta know this. Is it always the same pipe?
No, this pipe was a Peterson, actually.
Okay.
But he has a variety of pipes.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
He used to smoke more straight pipes, but I think he's added a few bent pipes to his collection now, which
interesting.
Is kind of funny. But, you know, Dr. Batson sent his pipe to the shop to be cleaned, and the lady that brought it in, it was one of his assistant, his aides, I think, and she brought in and she said, you know, Dr. B, he's having a little trouble getting tobacco in this pipe. Can you take a look at it for me? and she pulled the pipe out, and Bo, I swear, like the amount of available room to put tobacco in the chamber of the pipe was no bigger than the end of a like a pencil eraser. Like it was unbelievable. And I'm just thinking in my mind, I'm trying to visualize this 95-year-old man who probably doesn't have the coordination that he had once. You know, trying to get little leaves of tobacco into this pipe bowl, and even calling it a pipe bowl is very it's just not right. It's
right.
More like, I mean, imagine like,
it's like,
you know,
a pipe hole.
Yeah, a pipe hole with like this volcano peak that just kind of comes up to the top, and it's like, what the heck do you do with this? You know.
So one imagines that would be not the ideal
story. Yeah, that's the thing. Well, the funniest thing about that story is one time before I knew that was his niece, Blair, the niece, actually came in to get Dr. Batson his tobacco, but I didn't know that was his niece. And she started asking, like, when are you supposed to clean these pipes out? And I started saying, you know what? You will never believe this. I just asked that the other day for someone else. I saw this terrible pipe one time, and it was from this doctor, local guy. You would not believe how filthy it was. And I just went on and on about how nasty this pipe was. And she was like, yeah, that's my uncle. I'm asking for him.
Oh.
And I was like, face palm. Here's a free pound of Cherokee. But,
that's,
you know,
great.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, you really do need to be careful. The reason, you know, it's important to keep your cake at a certain width. And typically folks will say like anywhere between a dime and a nickel in width. Once you get past a nickel, number one, you've got less room to enjoy your tobacco. So, you know, it's just not conducive to, you know, loading your bowl full. But also, you know, you think about, okay, what does anything do when it gets real hot? So you've got this cake on the inside of a bowl. And, you know, anytime you have something that gets really hot, it expands. And so if the cake is covering the entire inside of the bowl, but then decides it wants to expand, what happens, and this blows people's minds that this is actually a thing, but, you know, what happens is the pipe will actually burst. You'll crack.
Get out of here.
You'll crack a pipe wide open because of too much cake. Like,
really?
It's a thing. Yeah. Like, I mean, I can't tell you how many pipes I've seen that, you know, look like they've been split open from the inside because they have been.
Man, I want to see a picture of that.
It's literally the amount of cake on the inside was too much for the pipe to handle.
Man.
You know, you're still, even though briar is awesome, again, we've talked about it, you know, sing its praises all the time, it's still a piece of wood that you're setting on fire.
So
as it's getting so hot and it's got this thing pushing from the inside, trying to go somewhere that it doesn't have any room to grow, all of a sudden it just bursts and you've got, you know, a pipe that'll just frankly split wide open. So you've got to maintain your cake at kind of that, you know, optimal level just to give it a chance to, you know, expand inside your pipe to do its job right. And really the best tools for that, a lot of folks, you know, they don't have a reamer or anything, and so they'll use either the spoon or their check tool, or a lot of folks will just use a pocket knife or something
like that.
If you are a regular smoker and you've got, you know, a pipe that is going to regularly build cake, I highly recommend, you know, some form of pipe reamer. I got a couple here to show tonight, at least for our live viewers. This is one of those that's...
That looks like a little transformer.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah. It looks like that little like alien thing.
Little bug thing, yeah.
Yeah. But this is one that you just put... It's kind of... if you can imagine, if you're listening to the podcast, like you just kind of drop it in. It's got a little T top to it, and it adjusts just very simply on the side with these kind of little swing blades that go on the side. But all you're doing is just dropping this into the pipe and then turning it around. And all you're doing there is just getting a really even scrape on the inside of the pipe. That's one thing that if you're using a pocket knife or something, you're not going to really get the benefit of having a very even an even scrape on there. A lot of folks in place of this will try to find a drill bit and actually just, you know, maybe not attached to a drill.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Well, maybe not attached to a drill, but just an actual bit that's as large as they want their cake to be.
Interesting. Okay.
And then they'll just drop that in there and just physically with their hand twist the drill bit around. You know, to kind of get some of that out.
So, it just sounds...
Well, again, you got to be careful. You know, would I do this on, you know, my, you know, Dunhill from 1958?
Right.
Probably not. But, you know, what I would use on that would be probably the Senior pipe reamer. And, you know, people are always like, man, I got to get one of those.
So now I don't know what this is because I don't watch this show, but I believe that those of you familiar with a sonic screwdriver, that's what John David just picked up.
I have heard people refer to it as, you know, kind of the hilt end of the lightsaber. You know, yeah, one of those things. It looks like, you know, something that, you know, you could be harmed with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You kill a man with that right there.
Yeah. A Senior pipe reamer. These are, imagine if you're, you know, listening to the show, you've got a large, you know, kind of rod that you insert down into your pipe. And when you twist the end of it, it kind of has this claw feature that will expand and contract based on, you know, you twisting this little pin thing that goes up and down with it. So these claws kind of expand and contract. And so you can get the exact, you know, right diameter of the reamer that you want it to be.
I mean, that almost looks industrial.
Yeah, and it really is.
Where'd you get that?
Well, it's called a Senior pipe reamer. It's a thing. You can order one online or, you know, I'll be glad to order you one too if you're, you know, a customer of ours. But it's one of those things. It's like, man, hey, you know, someone sees it and they're like, I've got to get one of those. Yeah. I know I'll use that. And then they ask how much it is and I'm like, $35. And they're like, what? Like, this is an interesting piece of equipment, and it's something that, you know, obviously is invaluable.
I would expect it to be more, honestly.
Well,
I mean, with all that metal and all those moving parts, it just seems
it's funny. People regularly are, you know, shocked at the price of these things, but it's hard to find a Senior pipe reamer for, you know, under $30, $35 nowadays. So it's just one of those things. But it's well worth the money if you're going to restore a bunch of pipes or if you're regularly building up cake in your pipe that needs to be reamed. Cool thing, too, I've been playing with it here as we're talking, but on the end of it, it actually has you can pull out this little drill bit. It looks like
it's
a legit drill bit that's kind of built into the end of this thing. And generally what folks will use this for is cleaning the shank out of their pipe.
So
you've just got the, you know, opportunity to get in there. Obviously this one has been well used, but you know, you can kind of get in there. You want to be careful with that, probably even more than the actual reamer, because you're if you start monkeying with the, you know, draft hole on your pipe, that's going to change dramatically, very quickly, the quality of your smoke or the, you know, just what your smoking experience is like. You might be used to a very fine draft hole, and, you know, as soon as you open it up, you're going to get a very different experience on your pipe. So something to keep in mind there. But yeah, if y'all, you know, I'm sure, you know, many of our real experienced pipe smokers know exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, check out the Senior pipe reamer. Again, it's going to look like the hilt of a lightsaber or, you know, something that you might use to torture someone with. But if you're going to clean a bunch of pipes, it really is the way to go. Matter of fact, I used it today. This guy brought a pipe in that it really... really beautiful Savinelli. It's probably 20 years old, but it's one of those Porta Cervo Savinellis. And he had just built up a real, real thick cake. It was a real even cake, but just too thick and needed to be brought down some so he could enjoy it and protect his pipe better. And man, I got after it. I spent probably, I don't know, 30 minutes reaming that thing. And Bo, I'm not lying when I say like this whole tobacco bar was just covered in this fine powder. I mean, it was just the finest, like, black powder. It looked like something you put into a musket.
Right.
But, you know, it's just all over my hands, and it was probably still in my hands. But anyway, you know, if you're going to do heavy-duty, you know, pipe reaming, that really is the – it's an invaluable tool to have.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
All right, so we've been talking about creating pipe, creating cake and maintaining cake, and specifically for briar pipes. I mean, with Morta pipes, is that something that would even be on the table?
You know, Morta and Meerschaum both, general convention on Morta and Meerschaum is that you don't build cake.
Right.
Now, a lot of folks on, particularly on Meerschaum pipes, will, you know, build cake just because maybe they're, you know, don't scrub it out after each smoke and that kind of thing. You do see cake in Meerschaum pipes probably more than you do Morta. But the idea in both is that you don't have to build cake, which is really nice. So, after each and every smoke, when I do Morta or Meerschaum, I'll actually, you know, take a pipe cleaner, turn it into a U, like I always do, kind of bend both the ends where they're up together. And I'll take that U-shaped pipe cleaner and just shove it into the bowl and just twist it around, get all the ash out. So, you know, you're trying to, you know, really just get that as clean as possible. So I would, you know, unless you do have significant cake on a Meerschaum pipe, you know, which you really shouldn't to begin with anyway, at least my opinion, you know, I would not use a reamer on a Meerschaum pipe.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You know, the goal again is to keep your Meerschaum pipe just really clean, at all times.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Meerschaum, you know, if you're sitting there reaming a Meerschaum pipe, you got to think like, man, that's a lot of pressure to put on, you know, basically a, you know, a seafoam. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
You know, the cake inside the pipe is already putting pressure on it, but then, you know, you start getting in there and twisting and scraping this stuff out. You just got to be really careful. So sometimes to soften that cake, you know, people will pour maybe a little Everclear or bourbon or certainly pipe sweetener, you know, the little bottle of pipe sweetener that we sell here at the shop or you can get online. It's like a mint flavored sweetener, but you know, if you'll put that in there and let it sit for a little bit, just to kind of absorb into that cake, it'll loosen some of that stuff up. Everclear is great if, you know, you want something that's not going to impart a flavor into your pipe.
Hmm.
Problem with Everclear is you have to generally buy like a fifth of it. And then, you know, if anyone sees you buying it, they think you have a problem.
and they just assume that you're like a college student or something.
Yeah, well, they send you to the nearest, you know, group therapy session, which is fine. And we all need that at some point. But anyway, the Everclear is so great because it is really high alcohol content. So it you know, cleans really well, but it also just doesn't impart any flavor. So anyway, that kind of covers, you know, the purpose of cake, building the cake and then maintaining it. You know, again, I think if you're a heavy pipe smoker that is going to use, going to build cake often enough to need to ream it, you know, I would probably go ahead and invest in a decent reamer, at least one of these little dudes that kind of have a little, you know, T look to it that you drop in there and that just kind of naturally expands to the side of the bowl. These run anywhere from $6 to $15. They're not very much. A lot of folks, they'll smoke a pipe. And they'll come in, you know, I don't know, 3 months later, and they say, hey, I don't know, but, you know, do I need to ream this? And I'll look at their pipe, and it, you know, is just real fine powder on the side, doesn't really have any cake at all. And, you know, it's kind of a thought, I think, people, because they spent so much money on this beautiful pipe, and they want to take good care of it, they're thinking, well, maybe it's time to ream it, you know. And honestly, you know, if your pipe doesn't have that heavy carbon buildup that's so big that it, you know, either one, obstructs the, you know, chamber from you loading it with tobacco, or two, threatens to crack the bowl, you know, then you just don't want to ream your pipe.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So don't ream it. I guess the nuclear option.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So you only go there if your cake is uneven and you just want to even it out a little bit, or you know, if it's gotten so big that you're either threatening the amount of tobacco you can put in it, or you know, obviously the integrity of the structure of the briar.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah, man.
Look, cake is cake's delicious.
Cake is great. I love cake.
Now, it's always great to kind of learn these tips and tricks, especially for caring for your briar. Because, I mean, all of us who are tuning in, who are listening to that, I mean, we all have at least one briar pipe. For many of us, we've got tons of briar pipes, and so keeping up with all of them is important.
Yeah.
And you want briar pipes. You want your good Morta pipes. You want a good Meerschaum pipe, too. But you know what you have to have?
A Missouri Meerschaum.
A Missouri Meerschaum pipe. Now, funny enough, Missouri Meerschaum pipe, actually corn cob pipe, you do not need cake in.
Is that right?
I'm asking.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Okay. That's the idea, right? Is that you can have a clean smoke no matter what you're smoking. Missouri Meerschaum pipes are good quality for exactly that reason. And of course, sponsoring this episode, we've got two pipes, the Pony Express and the one that I always mispronounce.
The Mizzou.
The Mizzou. It's like Kalamazoo, so I should remember that because that's a place. That's a real place.
It is. If you're from the, you know, is Missouri the Show Me State? Is that right?
Show me where it says that. I'm sure. Think, it is.
Waka waka. If you're from Missouri, you obviously know the word Mizzou. You know, they go the Tigers of the University of Missouri go by that moniker. But the Mizzou pipe is just a beautiful pipe. It's kind of like their Tom Sawyer pipe or Huck Finn pipe maybe, but the shank is bent up a little more. So think about a long stem with kind of a small chimney style bowl and the really beautiful amber, you know, plastic that makes that stem takes up a significant portion of it. So I always like it because I kind of tell people I laugh. It kind of reminds me of a Bing pipe, which of course I'm a big fan of. But the Mizzou. Just a beautiful pipe and, obviously one that you could add to your collection to, have a good everyday smoke.
Yeah, man. The Pony Express on the flip side has kind of a straight shank all the way through, kind of a long shank to it as well, with just a little bit of a bit.
I'd call it like a Levat, something where you've got that longer shank, but then the, the bit at the very end is just a real nice small saddle. And, of course, these are, super compact pipes that you can just tuck away and carry with you wherever.
See, the lovely thing about both of us trying to describe these pipes is that you use the actual terms, and for like all the newbies, they're like, what's a Levat? Oh, really long. Okay, got it. I'm like the translator for those that don't know what they're talking about. But look, you got to check these pipes out. They're absolutely gorgeous. And one of the great things about Missouri Meerschaum is they've got great people running that company. They make quality products, and you're definitely going to want to check them out. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
Yes, sir.
Pipe question of the week this week is written in by Alex McCaslin. Alex says, hey, Bo and JD, I just wanted to thank you guys for putting out a great show every week. I've been smoking a pipe for about 2 or 3 years on and off, and I discovered you all sometime last year and have enjoyed it ever since. My question is on the idea of quote-unquote all-day smoke tobacco. I hear this talked about a lot on various forums. Shout out to our pipe tobacco, he says.
Yeah, that's Reddit, right?
The Reddit group.
Uh-huh.
And was curious to hear you guys' opinion on what makes good all-day smoke. And what some of your favorite all-day smokes are. Thanks again for putting together such an incredible podcast, Alex.
Yeah, great question. And, you're going to get – you ask this to 10 different people, they're going to give you 10 different
right.
answers, right? So the reason, for instance, at the Country Squire, we have a blend. It's one of our signature blends, and if you're an aromatic smoker, I recommend you try it. But it's called Cherokee. Cherokee is a very simple mixture of Virginias and Black Cavendish. And it's one of our oldest recipes. We haven't changed the recipe in probably 40 years. And the reason we sell so much Cherokee, it's not because it's got the most powerful flavors. It's not because it's the strongest or the, most exquisite marrying of, flavors or any of this kind of stuff. It's just because you can smoke it all the time and not get sick of it. It's a delicious tobacco. It makes the room smell great. But it's one of those that you can just smoke all the time, and you won't get sick of it, and neither will your companions because it just smells good. So other blends, matter of fact, that would fall in that same category, the blend I'm breaking this pipe in with tonight, this Vowin pipe that I just lit up, is Scottish mixture from MacBaron. Friends at MacBaron, they make excellent, Virginia burley tobaccos, and is Scottish mixture. Now, of course, it does have a ton of different ingredients and does happen to be a little more complex. But, when you smoke it and think about it just from a distance, you're thinking, oh, it's just a really nice, clean, Virginia-based tobacco that's got just a little sweetness to it. And so, it's a good everyday smoke. Typically, everyday smokes are going to be something that – or all-day smokes are going to be something that doesn't give you personally tongue bite. That's the key here is you're going for something that, number one, doesn't take a lot of work to keep lit. Mm. And then number two, connects with your body chemistry in just the right way to not give you, a harshness on your tongue. As Mrs. Reeves, that taught me everything I know, would say, you want to pick a tobacco that's very kind to your mouth. And finding a tobacco that is kind to your mouth is different for everyone because, folks have different experiences. I give you a case in point. This guy came in here, And he's like, man, this black and tan stuff that y'all sell, it is so good, but it just bites the stew out of my tongue. And that is the one tobacco that we would sell at the Country Squire that I would say would not bite your tongue because it's just so smooth. It's so incredibly simple and mellow.
Huh.
But for whatever reason, his chemistry, it does not connect with him. So it's funny. I let him try several different things, and he wound up trying out Baker Street. And Baker Street, of course, lots of Virginia, Latakia and Perique. And, you know, obviously, when you think of Latakia and Perique, you think of strong flavors, but you know, those are typically cool burning smokes. And so, you know, he tried this and it's like, that's my new everyday smoke. That's what it is for me. He wanted something that, you know, would just connect with his own palate. And so, you do kind of have to hunt around for that. You know, other ones you might, you know, pay attention to as far as that goes, you know, any of the McClellan stuff, you know, is good. You know, Stokeby makes some excellent tobaccos, you know, that are good for everyday smokes, typically for most palates, things like the Luxury Navy Flake and, you know, PS24 Nougat, I know is really popular and a lot of folks enjoy that one. You know, but there's a whole variety out there. I think you really have to find something, though, that is easy to keep lit, you know, doesn't require a lot of maintenance. The flavors don't get old and it will not bite your tongue. And that's really it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's great advice. Yeah, you know, I'm actually going to, there's only really one day of the year that I ever do an all day smoke, and that's when I go fishing up in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
And typically, I take Treasure Island with me, and I do get tongue bite a lot from that. So this year I'll be sure to pick up some Cherokee.
That's good. The thing, like, you know, Treasure Island, it's a mellow smoke. It's one of those that has a nice mellow flavor and kind of a sweet room note to it. But you got a lot of moisture there, and so with the moisture, you know, typically will come more relighting.
Yeah.
And then also the moisture interacts with the, you know, with your tongue.
And I also find it makes me hungry. Like, just the smell of it for whatever reason just makes me hungry. And that's, you never want to feel hungry while you're fishing.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. It's like when you go on a certain diet, you need to stay away from certain tobaccos.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
I didn't.
Interesting.
Maybe that's another episode.
Excellent pipe question of the week, Alex. Thank you so much for sending that in. If you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire questions this week come in from Eric Rolf Franson. Like Rolf, like dog, like Muppet.
Okay.
That's his middle name. I just think that's awesome. All right, here they go. You ready for this?
Yeah, bring it.
All right, parking. Pull straight into the garage or back up into the garage?
No, pull straight in. I want to do all the easy stuff now and worry about the hard stuff later. Right.
Right. Wow. I never thought about it that way, but I guess I do it the exact same way for the exact same reason. Summertime treats, fruit smoothie, milkshake, or gin and tonic?
Gin and tonic.
Yeah, we know what you're going to say. You know, it's so hot. Milk was a bad choice.
It was a bad decision. But there's nothing like ice cream in the summertime, though, man. Except a gin and tonic. But, you know, summertime with ice cream is a good thing.
But milkshake seems to be a little bit too, like the consistency is too thick for the summer.
Okay.
Like, maybe that's just a me thing.
Smoothie's
good.
That's a good option. I think all of your second guessing is, you know, feeds into my reason for, you know, saying gin and tonic without hesitation.
Can I just go gin?
Yeah.
I just like gin. Gin, a little bit of vermouth, put a little twist in it, it's fine. That's how I do it.
Heck is that?
It's a gin martini, my friend.
Breyer's even sitting in the audience. He's like, is that a gin martini? Yeah, I guess that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I don't know my way around martini.
Shaking, not shit. After dinner, this is kind of very intricate, so you ready for this?
Okay, yep, bring it.
European-styled artisan cheese and fruit plate with a glass of port served at a bistro by a tuxedoed waiter named Francisco.
Lord have mercy.
or an American-styled apple pie a mode with a cup of coffee served with a truck stop by a waitress, served at a truck stop by a waitress named Dixie.
Yeah, bring on. I want Dixie to serve me a pie.
Yeah, I mean, if it's after dinner, absolutely apple pie a mode. Are you kidding me?
No, that I mean, amazing. Look, the artisan cheeses and fruit plate, that has its place.
Yeah, before the meal.
but maybe before the meal, yeah. As an appetizer, maybe, but for dessert after dinner, yeah, man, I want a big old lump of ice cream on top of my apple pie.
Bring on Dixie.
Man, yeah, yeah. Hey, my grandmother's name was Dixie. I love that name.
Man, that's a good name.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Was she a truck stop waitress?
She was not.
Okay.
She was far from it. But
well, maybe she missed her calling. She might have been.
She did serve a mean piece of pie though.
Well, there you go. All right, and then finally, fire. Bonfire at the beach or cozy fire in the mountain cabin place. Or burning down a failing business for the insurance money.
That's really great. Hopefully we never know what that last one is here at the Squire. Although we do always joke and say, you know, if we did burn the Squire down, it would be the best smelling fire in a four-state region. I'd have to go cozy fire in the mountains. You know, honestly, when I'm at the beach, the last thing I think of is like fire. I don't know. I don't even know how you would light a bonfire on the beach. People do it all the time, I guess. And obviously you'd want to do that if you were on a desert island trying to get noticed. But
that's a good point.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated by the concept of a bonfire on the beach because I've never been at one and I've always wanted to be at one. So I think we were cool enough
to be invited to that kind of thing when we were in high school.
Oh, you know, we had the Pearl River and the Pearl River wasn't quite beach worthy.
I don't know. You know, you go out there and push aside the empty shampoo bottles and it's actually kind of homey, you know?
That's Mississippi for you.
That's it. So gross.
Right here with Dixie. All right. There you go. Quick fire questions from Eric, man. Thank you so much. Those were epic. Well done,
sir. Those were great. Yeah.
Well done. Well, we really appreciate
it. Very specific.
And if you've got quick fire questions for us, they can be specific as well. Send them in csr@podastery.com. Man, before we jump into some listener feedback this week, we want to talk to you about our final sponsor for this episode, thispipelife.com.
Man, that's right.
Now, you and I were talking right beforehand about thispipelife.com, an online community. It's this wonderful, obviously, visual experience, but it's also about community as well. And we were talking about this week jumping online, getting in the forums a little bit, maybe even setting up a Ask Bo and John David kind of like type of deal.
That's terrifying, though. Isn't it?
Well,
because this Pipe Life, the folks on there, of course, if you haven't been on there, you'll recognize kind of the format quickly. You've got just folks from all over the country that are, you know, super into our hobby, which is, you know, pipes, tobaccos, pipe, you know, things we've talked about tonight, like maintaining your pipe, different blend recommendations and all this kind of stuff. But, I think as soon as you introduce lowbrow stuff like us.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I mean, the people on this Pipe Life, they're, sophisticated, young, folks that are interested in, furthering our beautiful hobby.
We're
do we fit into any of those?
You know, it's online.
We
it's
have
online.
Beards, right?
We'll make aliases. That's what we'll do. We'll make aliases on thispipelife.com.
That's
and
right.
Be like, hey, I hear those guys from Country Squire Radio are way more sophisticated than people realize.
They really sound cool, right?
Yeah. Go check them out.
The single one should go be friends with John David, right? it's a great opportunity though if you are on this Pipe Life, get on there, get active in the forums and plug in all your, it's integrated with social media and things of that nature. So you can really, bring your full experience into that community and just think like, all the forums and stuff that are online, but really geared towards folks that, are savvy with today's technology. Love modern culture and really want to push the pipe forward, as a device of enjoyment.
Yep, thispipelife.com.
That's it.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, we got some great listener feedback in. This first one's a tweet that I have to draw your attention to.
Okay.
Because I was talking to you about it before the show, and you said you missed this. This is from Greg Bolin on Twitter.
Yeah, there's a reason I missed it.
Who made his unfortunate pipe pilgrimage at 2:30 a.m. one morning. Did you see this picture I've got?
Oh, he's so sad.
Yeah, he's standing outside of the shop at 2:30 a.m. Of course, all the lights are out. It's dark outside.
That's fantastic.
Apparently, he was passing through at the time and so decided to
make your pipe pilgrimage to the Country Squire at 2:30 a.m. Yeah, I will definitely not be here, but you're welcome to take photos in front of our shop. And it looks like he even pulled his car up to turn the headlights onto the front of the shop.
Yeah, that's where
get a good background, photo. Yeah, that was awesome. Dude, thanks for, taking the time. You obviously didn't have to do that, pulling through Jackson, Mississippi in the middle of the night, taking the time to come take a photo in front of our shop. So if you're ever this side of the Mississippi or whatever, you know, during business hours, we'd love to meet you.
Exactly. Oh, man, that's great. All right. Next up on iTunes, we got an iTunes review from Dr. Funky. And by the way, Dr. Funky not only wrote an iTunes review, but included in that a quote. Would you read actually both of those?
Oh, nice. Is the second one the quote?
No. It's all mashed together. Okay, it's good. It's got quotations.
Yeah, from Dr. Funky on iTunes. He says, favorite podcast. This is a great podcast for any tobacco enthusiast, and it's a great listen even for those who aren't into pipes. Bo and John David are easygoing and fun. Their passion shows up in every show. I highly recommend it. You'll learn something and have fun along the way. And he says, quote, nowhere in the world will such a brotherly feeling of confidence be experienced as amongst those who sit together smoking their pipes. And this is from, end quote, it's from The Results and Merits of Tobacco, 1844, from a Dr. Barnstein. I love that.
Man, isn't that a beautiful
quote? Yeah, really nice. That's one of those things that I think kind of identifies, you know, our hobby and passion here. So, dude, Dr. Funky, thanks.
What a great quote, too, because even imagine – theoretically, the most just intense arguments transpiring between people. Like,
yeah, I think that we had one of those this afternoon, actually.
Well, theoretically,
you
is
and
what
I were
was,
trying to ignore.
Theoretically is what I was proposing here, but theoretically, my point is if things start getting heated, isn't it so much better to be heated over a pipe? Could you imagine such conversation to transpire over beer?
Well,
or over I don't know what milk.
It's too hot for milk.
It's too hot for milk. Was a bad choice.
And you know, I have seen this before, right? I have seen this before. So people will be in the shop, and obviously something will come up, like religion or politics or, you know, whatever it might be, economics, and they're you know, bickering back and forth at each other. But then there's always that lull in the conversation where someone's, you know, they're making a point and they're angry, but then they'll ask the person they're arguing with, like, hey, can I borrow your tamper? Like,
right.
You know, or hey, my light went out, like, while I was, you know, defending my argument. Can you pass me the box of matches?
So, and then you gotta relight your pipe. It gives you a second to think about what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, the adult pacifier comes out. So, yeah, I think there's a thing of beauty when you pull the pipe into the equation.
Man, finally, we got a email that was sent in from John Patrick Wolf. He said, I started listening to you guys on Monday on my way to carpentry school, and I must say I've listened to about 20-plus shows since. I listen to it while I do my work during my long, long, long drive from work. Thank you so much for what you guys are doing for the pipe community and making my day so much better. I can't wait to order some tobacco from y'all.
We like that.
And sharing the radio show with all of my fellow pipe smokers. We like that too. I'm even considering getting a Twitter account just so I can live tweet at your show. Thank you, my fellow gentlemen of the Briar. Well, John, man, we really appreciate that feedback.
Dude, please do. That's wonderful. Get you a Twitter account, baby.
Do it. Not only can you live tweet during the show, but even if you just listen to the podcast, if you're using the Satchel Podcast Player, then you can also tweet us directly with the little tweet button that's built right into the player. So we love getting that kind of feedback from you guys as you're kind of listening to the show and, and wanting tips. And, you know, tonight's topic in particular, one that's kind of a pipe smoking 101, man, we'd love to get feedback from you guys, especially some of you, you know, you folks who have been smoking a pipe for quite some time. If you've got opinions on building cake, best practices, head to Facebook, head to Twitter, share those out. We'll reshare them and really kind of help the you know, newbies kind of be brought up a little bit. We say newbie out of love, by the way, not disrespect.
No, absolutely.
No disrespect.
Hey, so speaking of Twitter, a couple of folks just tweeting in. We've got, you know, obviously Kilted Pipe Guys showing us he's got his MacBook out with some Dr. Pepper and he's working the late night shift, taking time to relax with yours truly here, so which is fun. And then also at Cigar Man Smokes, at Pipe Master on Twitter, he says, is Esoterica out of business or is it just very limited? Yeah, it's just very limited. Like, if you can find a can of Esoterica, you know, take a picture and savor it and then, you know, put it on eBay and sell it for five times what it's worth, right? But they are very much in business. They just have a very limited production. So every time the stuff comes out, it's insane. Yeah,
well, we really, really appreciate you guys tweeting in, joining us for the live show here, those who were able. And hey, if you'd like to join us for a live show, we do this every single Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Central. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. Now, next Monday is actually the 4th of July. So the people want to know.
That's right.
All right. Will the store be open on 4th of July?
The store will not be open on the 4th of July.
Will we be podcasting?
We will be podcasting.
All right. There you go. So we'll still be broadcasting and podcasting for you next Monday. So be there.
That's right.
Enjoy a little Country Squire Radio with right before you enjoy your fireworks.
Yeah.
Get the barbecue going. Get the family all pulled around. Who knows?
Sounds awesome. I'm getting hungry all the time.
I know, me too, right? We should I don't know, maybe can we do like a Squire Select barbecue pairing? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What if we did a Squire Select barbecue pairing? With like we got like what if we went no. We went to the Pig and Pint and we got like some pulled pork, some brisket, and like all of this stuff, and then we paired it up.
All right, you're saying you're just looking for an excuse to drink beer, eat ribs, and have a
and talk about pies and pie tobacco.
And have a pipe. I'm down.
Yeah.
You had me at barbecue.
We might have to do that.
Right.
So tune in next week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That'd be so shameless.
CountrySquireRadio.com. So y'all keep up with us throughout the week. Facebook.com/CountrySquireRadio. You can follow us on Twitter at Squire Radio, or individually. You can follow me at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, all that contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, what a great show.
Man, this was great. Thanks for coming out and listening to us. And
hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.